have to do.
Chairman, we also have our director and acting chief of our police department and staff here today that can answer any questions if anyone has them, but pretty straightforward. The additional funds will be utilized to provide necessary funding for the local DNA database program that has been presented and spoken about in committee prior to many weeks.
Any questions, comments, or members of council? I'd like to recognize the president, Councilman Smiley, and I'm already in trouble because I didn't say that my trusty aide, Sharnice Jackson, is taking the notes. I'm sure I'll hear about that sooner rather than later.
As you should.
Any questions from the public on 17-002? Moving on, 17-003, amend the grants budget appropriate $30,000 in emergency illegal drug enforcement funds from the state of Delaware Department of Public Safety to Newcastle County Department of Public Safety's fiscal year 2017 drug control unit overtime grant. Any questions, comments from members of council? Questions, comments from anybody in the public? Moving on to 17-004, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These funds will actually be used to enhance training opportunities for our police department. And under the fiscal note, it actually describes the various areas that it will assist with. Quite an extensive list and everything, but it'll certainly help to enhance and continue to enhance the skill sets for our Newcastle County police officers.
Questions or comments from members of council? Questions or comments from members of the public? I'd like to recognize the presence of Councilwoman Dillon. I'd like to recognize the presence of Councilman Wood. Moving on, item number six, resolution 17-009. It's introduced by Mr. Bell and myself, and we'll have a presentation from our emergency services manager, Dave Clark.
Thank you, Councilman. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll be fairly quick. Over the past 2 years, we have been working feverishly with the contractor combination in-house with our planners and staff to update and revise the comprehensive emergency management plan for Newcastle County. The original concept of how it was structured, the comprehensive emergency management plan, was back in 2003, and it got adopted in 2006. We made it somewhat of a large revision of that in 2009, so it's been a little while since we've refreshed and updated the plan, and it took some time to get this revision up and running. The reason why is this was really almost like an upgrade of version 2.5 versus the 1.5, per se, use, you know, IT terms. We changed the formatting of it and the structure of it and how we wanted it presented. We reduced the size of it, and you'll see that in the presentation. So it's a lot easier for the county government entities to understand their role and their responsibilities with disaster operations and emergency operations as a whole. I just want to put this out as a statement, because normally we always get requests and residents always call us and say, so what's the county's plan? You know, can I see the county's plan? And we always tell them, our plan is not your plan. Your plan is your own personal plan, what you're going to do when you have an emergency in your residence. Reading our plan is not going to help you decide whether you're going to evacuate or shelter in place. You know, getting some information from us will help you decide where your hazards are, where your threats are, and how you need to build your plan. But our plan is specifically for the county governments and the county support functions that are going to happen during disaster operations and what those agencies need to do. So my planner, Dave Scott, really likes this quote. I do too, from Eisenhower. It's not the plan as much as it is the planning process. That's why we've gone out recently to the departments and done stakeholder meetings with everybody. On top of that, we will do training in the future. The legislative framework or the background for this and our charge is under the county code, under Chapter 10, the Civil Emergencies Code. And then again, under our department function for the Office of Emergency Management is to maintain, prepare and maintain a county emergency operations plan. Some of the major changes since that 2006 plan, which was revised in 2009, is the format. Before the last plan had several parts, several annexes, and several appendices. We've kind of condensed that, and we now have one basic plan. We have about 4 to 5 functional annexes and about 4 to 5 hazard-specific annexes. And you'll see them listed in the next slide or so. So the base plan used to be 238 pages. We cut that down now to 63. And each of the annexes will then have, as we go through some of the stakeholder meetings and the internal meetings with the county offices and row offices and departments, we will start developing job aids, so basically overall checklists for the departments to use in their functions to make it easier for them, attached to each annex per se. So for severe weather, it might be one thing. There might be a couple differences between that and a radiological situation. It also incorporates some of the updated information. Obviously, back in 2009, the county has changed demographically since then, and we've placed that information into the Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan. A lot of that information has always been with us. It's always been in our all-hazard mitigation plan, which I just came last year for your resolution to support the update to that plan. And that's a FEMA-required plan that we need to create. But now we've incorporated some of that into this plan so that it's readily there for your reading, that you understand what the threats and hazards are for Newcastle County. The other major change is it is now aligned with the current policy guidance federally. The federal guideline changed from the National Response Plan to the National Response Framework. It's a federal job, so somebody has to do some work. And also the State Emergency Operations Plan, there were some changes from them. They had changed theirs to the Incident Command System module model, and there has been some updates from them in the past several years. The other major change is we revised the role back in the old plan. We had what was called the Critical Incident Working Group, which was made up of the Chief Administrative Officer for the county, the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer, all the department GMs, and representative of the County Fire Chiefs Association, County Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board, and the IT manager and the Public Safety Division Chiefs. That group was more of, in the old plan, a policy, operational, and functional group. It is now strictly a policy guidance group in our new plan, because we let the operations and the functions happen with the departments and the entities that make them happen, and let them, their managers, do the operational decisions that have to be made. I know this is a little difficult to see. I brought copies along for you, paper copies for you to have, take with you. This still comes out small on a PowerPoint slide. It'll be better if you want that specifically, I can send it over to you. But basically, this top level is the Critical Incident Working Group, which is the policy group. Reporting to the EOC coordinator, the chair of the Critical Incident Group is the Chief Administrative Officer. His co-chair is the Director of Public Safety. And then we have a Safety Officer, a Public Information Officer, a Liaison Officer, which would make contact with the individual incident command posts out in the field operating an incident. And then under that, in the Emergency Operations Center, we have divided out a lot of the functions that happen in Newcastle County government into planning, operations, finance, and logistics, which is an incident command system model. But in order to align it with the federal government framework, we've outlined what those emergency support functions at the federal government and where they fit into our incident command system model. So if somebody comes in from the Environmental Protection Agency, they know what emergency support function they have, and they know where they fit into our Emergency Operations Center and operations, and we know who to connect with in that situation. So that's kind of what I just went over, was those federal emergency support functions. Those 16 distinct functions outlined in their response framework are now integrated into our Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan. The functional annexes include, and I go over these in a little bit, but they are basically identifying specific responsibilities for each of the state county entities. And I have a little bit, we have a slide later kind of announces those, so you'll kind of see which ones functions we're talking about. Then we have hazard-specific annexes. Some of those hazard-specific annexes are hurricanes, winter storms, tornadoes, and then also we utilize the LEPC, the Local Emergency Planning community plan, the hazmat plan that the state requires us to do as our hazmat annex. And then we include some of the other annexes that are pertinent to us from the state level's emergency operations plan and from the state level Department of Homeland or Health and Social Services plans with us as annexes. Some of the functional annexes that we are responsible for are damage assessment, recovery, mitigation, and then also obviously sheltering and mass care are the other ones that we're directly responsible for as a county government. I mentioned this earlier, we're going to develop some checklists to be included with those annexes so the departments have a little bit easier time, especially as personnel changes. Every time we go through an administration change and general managers change, and or retirements, a lot of retirements, those people change. It's nice to take that institutional knowledge with you of the people that have served in, especially in Emergency Operations Center. I just lost Jim Hedrick from Special Services, who served 25 years, almost 25 years with us. I lost Donna McCullum from HR. She just retired, and she served over 10 years with us in the Emergency Operations Center. They get to know those situations and the operations and where they can reach for things and acquire resources and how to make things happen. Last but not least, we have acquired a planning software package. Very nice. So we can take all these plans, because that's really the onus of this operation and planning function, is when we get all these plans and all these annexes updated, just as we do all this, guess what? They're all out of date, and we have time to update them all and go through the whole process all over again. So hopefully this software package will help us do that. Each of the departments will have a point of contact, a coordinator in their department that can access this system and make changes in the plan that they need to. It'll go into a queue, and once we review it and approve it, then it'll become part of the plan. Are there any questions?
Councilman Wine.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The county police responded promptly to a bomb scare at the Jewish Community Center on Garden of Eden Road yesterday. I got the email alert and went up there and spoke to one of the officers on the perimeter. I was very pleased and proud that our community police operated so quickly, and we had gotten briefed just a year ago on the Jewish Community Center becoming a beta project to enhance a relationship, and that program has now gone countywide. It was great that the beta project, actually we got a chance to see it in work, although it's regretful that it had to be a bomb scare, but it did work as it should. All the children that were in the building immediately were moved out. There were four different programs. They were all moved out quickly without any delay. They would have gone to the pilot school, but it's closed, so they went to the YMCA, and up where parents picked everybody up. So kudos to everyone involved. Was that in accordance with the Homeland Security Program, or was that in with our normal protocols, if anyone knows?
I can have the Lieutenant, the Interim Chief, touch base on that incident specifically. Colonel?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry.
The question was about the bomb threat at the Jewish Community Center yesterday, if it was something that falls into the realm of the Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan, or was just handled with normal daily operational protocols.
Actually, it was handled for us. It was handled during as a course of normal business for us. Our deployment resources, we immediately went in there. We had Sergeant Sayers, who's probably our most well-versed sergeant and supervisor in terms of incident command. He was actually on scene and overseeing the responses that were coming in. We were quickly able to identify through the help of RECOM that there were numerous calls that came in, so we knew it wasn't specific to this one location. There was calls that were going throughout the country. The FBI actually was on the phone and got in contact with us right away, so we had a pretty good idea of what we were dealing with. And protocols and everything that was set in place were actually followed. And we're just asking the question, the director was just asking me, and I apologize, but he was asking about whether or not we have the cameras, the ability for the cameras and the Fusion Center to actually pull up the Jewish Community Center.
Yeah, and they were the first. They were the beta test on the cameras. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So, and we were just going over that and talking a little bit about that. So everything went well yesterday. Thankfully, it was. It appears to be just a hoax, and we did a thorough sweep. We actually brought in the police department, came along with their K-9 units, because when you talk about a facility that large, it's very draining on the K-9s to actually go through, and you want to make sure that you cover every corner of that location. So We were able to get the bomb dogs up there, our agency, Wilmington Police Department, and make sure that we went through and everything, like I said, went very well yesterday, very pleased.
Thank you.
So, Councilman, I'll add to that, where it starts to border on the Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan is that facility. We've worked with them before, the past county has specifically, on their own facility evacuation plan. And so it's integrated so that they're not looking to the police when they arrive saying, where are you going to put us for our evacuation site? Where should we go? That's all taken care of from them. So it makes their job and everybody else's job and the 911 center's job a lot easier as far as the operation yesterday.
Thank
Councilman
you.
Councilman Taggart had a question or comment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dave, great presentation. Congratulations on being able to find the time and be able to streamline your process, and certainly that'll be a benefit as we move forward. Commend you on your outreach you do in the communities and help with the training that you do through your programs. How is your federal funding now?
Still good. Still okay, steady. I want to say nothing's going down yet. We suspect some decreases. We always kind of target for that. FY16 is about to be awarded. I know that sounds odd, but yeah, for DHS. We're operating as FY17 right now. We haven't received the award for FY17 on our operational funding. And that's the par for the course for the federal government. Mm-hmm. Until they decide on what the budget's going to be and the appropriations are going to be, we won't know what the grant award is. But the good thing, as I've mentioned before, is that emergency management, it sits in several different organizations, sheriff's organization, police chiefs, fire chiefs. So we have a lot of industry groups that lobby,
right.
per se, yeah. Fight for us and our funding.
And also you mentioned at the beginning there, actually about halfway through, losing two individuals that were very imperative to, the knowledge and expertise on your group.
Right.
The one retired and the other one, the other one's still here. How come he dropped off? Jim Hendricks.
EOC operations, we get into overnight operations.
Yeah.
And he's getting up in age, so yeah, it was more of I can't do the overnights anymore in the long days.
Getting bad.
Yeah. he got his shoes got filled with very good people. So
okay,
up in age.
Councilman Cartier.
Right. Yes. My question goes to the first part of your presentation, the legal framework. So, the county executive has it within his power to declare state of emergency. Is that independent of state authority?
It is independent of state authority, but typically when the county executive,
go ahead.
That's wrong. It is independent of the state of emergency at the state level. Typically when the county declares a state of emergency, a local state of emergency, it's followed immediately by us going to the state, requesting the state to declare a state of emergency. And the reason being is because obviously, in Delaware, a lot of local services are done also by state agencies. Mm-hmm. And so to enact certain things and do certain activities, our local state of emergency allows us to do certain powers within the code, so does the state. So typically what we'll do is we'll request the state to do a state of emergency. Vice versa, like during statewide events, the hurricanes and the winter storms, we'll have the discussion with the state. Do we want to put a state of emergency in effect? And the state will say, yes, we'll put a state of emergency in effect as of 8 p.m. with a level one driving ban. And at that time, we'll do the same thing concurrently with the county executive. We'll put a local county state of emergency in effect.
So there is no circumstance where we have conflicting authorities on the state and the county in reference to declaring a state of emergency?
No, we don't.
What's the threshold for the state versus the county?
There's no, I can't give you a dollar amount or a situation or whatnot. It's typically when resources are overwhelmed or resources need to be provided outside of the normal restrictions of, a lot of it has to do with, obviously we can declare an emergency, just to declare an emergency to allow us to do purchasing up to $25,000. And at the state level, that's the same thing. It, a lot of times a state of emergency allows several things. It puts the DEMA director as the governor's authorized representative to take upon certain actions. It allows him to activate the Delaware National Guard under authority of the governor, so we can start using those resources. At our level, it allows us to do actions under the plan that have already been signed off by the county executive without the county executive having to say yes, no, that kind of thing. It also allows us to operate
a little bit more efficient, and it allows the purchasing guidelines, the bids and going out to bids and getting quotes and all that to go away for a period of time. And if there's any requirement, then we have to come to council for an emergency resolution or emergency ordinance to approve any funding outside of those levels.
Since we have two governmental entities with the same authority, I mean, who's got the lead?
The local county does.
The county.
Yeah. It's all emergencies are local. The county has the lead. Really, the county or the municipality has the lead. It's really the incident commander at the incident, either the fire chief, police chief at the incident that has the command of the incident. Overall, the guidelines and the resources that are coming forth are under the county's purview, just like the resources at the state are under state's purview.
Thank you.
It works very well hand in hand, though.
Co-Chairman Bill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dave, I was kind of wondering, I know through the years we've always had an excellent relationship with the LAPC, and critical and important part of our daily emergency response, recognizing that Delaware's always been known as kind of the chemical capital world. And I know that some of that has digressed a little bit, but we clearly still have a tremendous amount of technology, chemical production, fuel production, and everything in the state, the port, railways, and everything. And we do have a representative here today from the LAPC, but do we still have that relationship? Is there, meetings with LAPC and as far as their input and assistance with major planning in Newcastle County?
Co-chair, LAPC?
LEPC, Local Emergency Planning.
Acronym definition, right?
Go ahead, give them the definition.
Don't worry, I get called all the time.
Okay.
Local Emergency Planning Committee.
Right.
It's the group designated by the State Emergency Response Commission, which is the guideline from SARA Title III, the Environmental Protection Agency's requirements to institute planning and provisions around hazardous materials facilities. Yes, we still have a relationship with the LAPC. My planner, Joe Cochran, attends their bi-monthly meetings. So we maintain that liaison. We maintain pretty much a liaison with all the agencies that attend that meeting and a lot of the industry that attends that meeting. The relationship that we still have is the LAPC is a planning and training entity. That's what the directive is from the CERC. They handle the audits, which is the visits of the sites that are listed as hazardous material sites that have extremely hazardous substances on board. They have to go and visit them on a three-year rotation. So it works out to about 20, 25 sites a year that the consultant from the LAPC goes and visits to audit their response plan to make sure there's no kinks in their response plan, that it's in concert with what emergency services is doing, responding, and that kind of thing. And they usually visit along with the DENREC environmental release people.
So we still work hand in hand with the LAPC today.
Right. The other portion of it is their portion is the EPA notices and violation notices that they handle. The response portion of it is still the Office of Emergency Management. Any response to any hazardous materials incident, any hazardous chemical incident, the responsibility for evacuation shelter in place of the population, the public that's at threat, is under our purview, working under the fire chief's authority.
Any other questions, comments from council members? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Council.
Appreciate it. Does anybody have anything under other? Council Smiley.
Not really specifically relevant to this, but I apologize for being late getting your meeting. The project manager caught me inspecting the tile work in the restroom. And I ended up in a discussion with him. So just to kind of let everybody know, they're projected to be completed by the end of next week. And one side thing from the restrooms is, those of us that are there quite frequently know that when there's a water problem on the 8th floor, all the water got shut off for the 8th floor of the building. But part of this project was instituting individual shutoffs to the different water sources. So you can't go potty, but you'll be able to keep working and wash your hands in the bathroom.
And you made sure that the women's would be open in a week also.
I didn't say which one I was expecting to work. The signs are off. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask if we could place on next or upcoming agenda restructure, revitalize community engagement specialist program. A few of us in whose districts, there's a new community policing officer now called community engagement specialist. We met Corporal Sonny Allen, and we thought all of council would benefit by hearing an updated presentation from our police on the program at an upcoming meeting.
I have. Is that okay with you, Chief?
Vaughn Bond, yes it is, sir.
Okay.
Not a problem.
All right. I have two things. One, I would like to thank Council President for getting the letter out to the mayor, county exec, and the governor, encouraging them to have a multi-jurisdictional task force. And folks may have got a we had new elections and all that, but I'm still frustrated. We got two murders in 2 days in the city, and for those who continue to be naive enough, it's our paramedics that respond every time there's a shooting, every time there's a murder. So that's one. Two, chief, director. Next month's 2 years. Where's my shooting?
Still working on it.
Best police force in the country. Boy walks in a community center, blows somebody away broad daylight. Y'all got a picture. 2 years later, we don't know who it is. I ain't going away till you get him off the street.
Can you do it quick?
Retirement based on that.
And while I smile about it, I feel your pain. We absolutely have been working on the case, but. And we do have a photograph. It's not the best quality photograph. However, we put it out at numerous media outlets, and we put it out, passed it out, going to civic association meetings, and we'll continue to put it out. As you know, the mother of the victim is a good friend of mine. We went to high school together, so she's been reaching out to me on a regular basis, and you know, to hear the pain of a mother who lost a loved one, and especially lost a child, it is something that you don't forget. And by all means, if there was a way that I could put up $2 million of my own personal money to bring forth the person who did it, I would do it in a heartbeat. But we are still working on it, and we're going to continue to work on it. Again, we have the information. We have a lot of the pieces to that puzzle. And one thing that we constantly strive with, and everyone at this table knows, and anyone who's been involved with you know, homicides, we all know, as they say in the streets, that the streets talk, and the streets know exactly who did it. And until we can start to really get in the mindset of a lot of these individuals that are out here to have this information, until we can start gaining their trust and reaching out to them in order for them to give us that information, unfortunately, we're going to run into this time and time again. You know, you can have DNA, you can have fingerprints, you can have all of that.
Pictures.
But nothing, yeah, photographs, but nothing replaces information coming from a person who's willing to cooperate and give you that information so you can follow up on it. So, but we are still working on it. I know that you called me almost every day, if not weekly, for a period of time. I don't know if your phone ran out of minutes or something. I haven't heard from you in a while. But I know that you bring it up whenever you see me, and I'm prepared for that. So I am looking forward to the day when I can say that we made an arrest, and then I'm going to just call you in the morning just for the heck of it.
That's all well and good, but street's not talking. Mm-hmm. So, in a 2 year period of time, the street hadn't talked. What, if anything, are we going to do to change that relationship so that the street does begin to talk? Well, and I know you taught the street talking, but I got it probably 4 more years, so, and I hope you don't take all 4 years for you to get this fool off the street.
I really hope it doesn't take that long. But what do we do? You know, from the police standpoint, I think one of the things you talked about, Councilman talked about earlier, is the community engagement specialist. It is something. We have to be gaining the trust. It's a lot different. When I was in detectives from 96 to 03, you know, you did have more people who were willing to come forward. Of course, times were different, too. because, you know, there back then, it was a time when people talked about what they were going to do to anybody who cooperated with an investigation. You know, oh, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, over the years, it has gone beyond talking. And so what you have now is you have a fear of retaliation. And, you know, sometimes it's easy for a lot of us who live in comfortable environments to say that, you know what, if I seen something, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell what happened. But it's a different circumstance, a different situation if you happen to live in an area that is crime-ridden, an area where there is violence taking place, and you don't have the money to pick up them. If you don't have the security deposit to move from this place, you know, they're coming up with $1,000 for them, you know, for a lot of people, it's very difficult. And so what they're forced to do is they're forced to stay there. And while they know what happens, you know, I have to weigh it out. Do I want to say something for this person over here and then jeopardize my family, my safety, or do I keep my mouth shut? And that's what you're up against. You know, and that's what we're up against right now, because it's like I said, it's going from just talking. But the point is, what we have to do, we can't give up on it. We talked about it today in the TAPS. We talked about cooperation. You have to get that trust. People have to know who the police officers are, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, law enforcement, we've done a lot of great things. We really have. But getting officers back, doing the foot patrols, into the communities, knowing who they are, so that people trust you, because people will call you and they will give you information if they know you and if they trust you. And so we're hoping that with the community engagement specialists, we're gonna have them deployed in areas, and they already been on Route 9 corridor, several other locations where we had incidents. Hopefully by establishing a rapport with them, them establishing a rapport with the community, we will be able to get information and see what can come out of it.
All right, I'm gonna let you go for the day.
Yes, sir.
But I'm gonna respectfully suggest again the importance of game-changing and creative, innovative activities between our department, the city, the state, and the AG's office. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you don't let the AG's office stay married to reward money can only be obtained when there's an arrest and a conviction. Because all the money we put and made available for the street, nobody wants it, and there's a reason for that. So I'm going to encourage you to keep on and work with your colleagues and the other jurisdictions and the AG's office to look at what we can do above and beyond so that the street doesn't continue to be silent.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Councilman Smile.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Same time, same channel.
Exactly.